Een lamme olif.
I was thinking of the following scene. Scene which most of us have seen. Sitting at home, eating supper, learning, schmoozing with the family. The doorbell rings. There's a mashulach at the door. The mashulach is desperate. There's somebody in his family who's not well, has to pay for surgery, or he's making a chasana. And what goes through our mind, what must go through our mind, is how painful it must be for this person. And we give him whatever we can give him. There's another similar scenario, though, where the person is similarly desperate, but he comes from a very, very big, very different background. One of the mishalochim is somebody who once had a very, very successful business. And he made a couple of bad decisions and a couple of bad choices, and the market turned against him, or there was a fire in his factory, and he never lost it all. And he tried putting himself back together, and he couldn't. And he had no choice. He had no choice. He had a family to support. He had no choice but to knock on people's doors. And when he goes down the street, block after block, ringing doorbells, he knocks on the door and it looks familiar. And he realizes that it's his house. And the dining room the kitchen the people are leaving from is his kitchen. And the cars that are on the block, the fancy cars that are there on the block, he once had a car like that. In fact, those are his friends. Many of them look the other way when they see him now, because they're embarrassed, because they're not helping him as much as they should, perhaps. But imagine that heartbreak. Compare the two, Rabbi Sai. Imagine how much more the heartbreak is from the second Oni than from the first. Compare and contrast it, Rabbi Sai. This kina goes line by line, comparing the euphoria we had leaving Mitzrayim to the desperation that we had leaving Yerushalayim. It's not that we were always in Golis. We once had it all. We had the house, we had the car, we had the night. We were able to buy whatever we wanted, a pomegranate in Brooklyn. We had whatever we needed, but we lost it all. We lost it. The kina starts, "Eish tukat bekirbi." I had a fire burning inside of me. Halilaisi alibur, and I remember b'teisib Mitzrayim. B'kina ma'ira lamana askira, but I have lamentations, I have kinis, I have elegies. But I remember what happened when I left Yerushalayim. Oz yashir Moshe, shir lo yinoshe. Oz yashir Moshe. Moshe sang a song that would never be forgotten. We left Mitzrayim. But the kind in Yirmiyah said his kina. No, nehina me, and he moaned a sorrowful lament. Dagan Shemayim, we had man from Shemayim, but Suri Yuzuvamayim, we had the Bar Miriam that water came out of Batesim Mitzrayim. La'onov Umrayim Mayim Hamorim, Batesim Mitzrayim. Hashkein v'harev svipas harchayruv. We learned when we encircled Har Sinai, we were there from dawn to dusk. But Kora el Avil al Maharis Bavil b'teisim Yerushalayim. And the kiddo goes on and on to describe different things. Chagim Shabbosais Musafim Isais. We had Yom Tovim. We had Shabbosais. We had miracles when we left Mitzrayim. When we left Yerushalayim, we had tainis for Avil. We had fasting and mourning. Uredoif ha-hevel, and running after nothing. Like the Rashiva just said before, you know, wasting time on things which make no difference to us. Moshe Yerenu, Moshe is going to lead us for Aaron Yanchenu, and Aaron guided us to Mitzrayim. And Hadrian, the wicked, wicked emperor of Rome, the one who killed Rabbi Akiva after Meridas Bar Kochba, the one who took Yerushalayim Viopias Shar Shechem. If you look to the left of the Shar, look down, there's another gate. That gate is the gate of Hadrian's Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim was destroyed in the year 70 by Titus HaRasha, the city stood empty and desolate. But then Hadrian HaRasha, Hadrianus Caesar, took the second century equivalent of bulldozers and razed the city. And he built another city on top of it. And he named the land Palestina after the Palestinian Arab. He called Israel's arch enemy. It wasn't enough for him just to put us in the Golis, but he had to take any remnants of what we had and literally put it in our faces. If I may, I want to talk about a different contrast as well. Let's compare our generation, my generation, the generation of my children, the generation of a lot of the people here, to the generation of my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. A Yid used to have a way, Yid used to have a Yiddish shtoltz. I don't mean shtoltz in a negative way that we use today in the Ilam HaYeshivas, but a Yiddish shtoltz, we were proud of who we are. We knew our places. We didn't mix with Goyim. We didn't want to mix with Goyim. We had our own way of talking. We had our own way of dealing with things. I had an aunt. She had a child before the war who was nifted before the war. Her life was unspeakable, one of unspeakable horrors. She was married at 20 or 21 years old in Chust, where they lived. They moved to Siget. I'm sorry, they moved to Munkach, actually. And she had a child, and she had a perfect life. Then her husband got sick. And her husband was nifter on the day of the Shloshim, her four-year-old child died. When they came to Auschwitz, they put her on she was 35 years old, but they put her on the line to die. But somehow she was able to live. And they pulled her into the other line. And they stole 62 years from Hitler. And me, my family, my siblings, my cousins, my children got to know an amazing lady. 62 years she stole from Hitler. She was 97 years old. She had fallen and broken her hip. And she was in the hospital in Maimonides in Borough Park. And my father was out of town. I was there and my uncle was there. We stayed. It was a Friday afternoon. We stayed until Shabbos. My uncle left about 20 minutes before Lichtenen. I left about Mamash by Lichtenen. I drove most of the way. I drove till it was 3 minutes before Shkia and I walked home. As I was leaving, I said, Tante Raisi, I'm leaving. And she said, Yitzchokel, they were doing a very, very difficult procedure, painful procedure behind the curtain. So Yitzchokel, Chibet HaKaiver. Chibet HaKaiver is something which we don't understand, but it's the way the body feels when the body is disintegrating. Hatzaitini Yidin, Amologi Yidin, describe mundane things, describe pain using expressions of Kedusha. Many of us, at least have heard, if we wouldn't say it, when something hurts, we'd say it hurts like, I'm not finishing the sentence. Rav Lipa Geldworth in Brooklyn told me, he was once speaking, he said that he was in Europe. He was in one of the Soviet satellite countries. So you were able to have shuls there. It was still under communism, but it wasn't as strict as in Russia. And he was there, and someone came over to him. One of the old European Yidden, the Gabbai, came over to him and said, Nemaros de Reinkeit, take out the Reinkeit. And he had no idea what he was talking about. And he then, after the person gesturing and telling him and trying to explain to him two or three times, he realized he was talking about the Sefer Torah. But this Yid who lived in a place where we weren't allowed to practice Judaism didn't feel himself worthy enough to call a Sefer Torah Sefer Torah, and he called it pureness. The pureness. I can't call a Sefer Torah Sefer Torah. We who have exposed to a lot more of Goyisha world than that Yid in wherever he was in Czechoslovakia or Romania or Poland, we have no problem calling it a Sefer Torah. Not because we're holier than him. I venture to say the opposite. Rabbi Gerber said further, when he was growing up in Borough Park, there was a novelty in, but there was a novelty there, a Russian Yid. That's not a novelty for us. Baruch Hashem, they all got out of Russia. Unfortunately, many of them are not the way we would like them to be, and it's up to us, I guess, to bring them there. But nonetheless, in the late 1950s, early 1960s, there was a Russian Yid. He was a man in his 50s who got out. This man fought in the front in World War I. And Rabbi Yehuda said that it was, being that he was a novelty, everybody used to try to invite him for Shabbos because he wanted to hear how life was in a different part of the world with Mesiras Nefesh. And they asked him and said, how did it feel fighting on the front of World War I? So he said, yeder minute, every minute felt, and he was grasping for adjectives. Then he said, every minute felt like Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. Rabbi said, let's go back to basic world history. From 1918, at the Communist Revolution, it was illegal to be a Frumma Yid in the Soviet Union. If someone practiced Yiddishkeit, then he was sent to Siberia. I don't know how long this Yid was living there. 30 years. He got out in the 50s. So it was, it was the early 50s, living under communist rule, 35 years. The only way he could describe fear is Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. I challenge myself. I'm not ready to challenge anybody else. I don't describe fear as Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. How far I've fallen. How far we've fallen in just a few days. We used to know how to talk. We used to know how to dress. We used to know how to hold ourselves. We used to know where we belonged and where we didn't belong. We don't belong having kosher hot dogs in Yankee Stadium. We don't. If one wants to go there to let his hair down to chill, if I could use a 2015 word, okay, it's not the right thing. But everybody needs their space. Everybody needs to be able to do it. But to make it so regular that it's regular to be there enough for companies to make money that way, Rabbi said, we forgot our place. We forgot our place. And v'chehena, spoke yesterday by Shaul Shudas about sneers and neighborhoods that we live in. It's not about who we are and where we came from. It's about me. There's a new phenomenon going on in Frum neighborhoods, and I'm really, if I offend anybody here, I apologize. But look how every Frum neighborhood now, Borough Park, Flatbush, Williamsburg, Five Towns, you see German cars being driven by Frum people. If my grandmother, Alei Hashalom, would see me driving a German car, she would burst out crying. There's a sensitivity of 70 years that we had as a people, and all of a sudden a bunch of individuals lost that. It seems, as a domino effect. Rabbi said, we've fallen. There's the kina. The kina is sung, the first part, the Tetzim Mitzrayim, is sung out loud. The Tetzim Yerushalayim is sung in a whisper or a lower tone.